Chapter 9. Lexi was still reeling from seeing Simone at the memorial when she stormed into the kitchen at the cup and cake. "You won't believe this," she sputtered to Cassie, who looked up from the task of decorating cupcake tops with one pierced eyebrow raised.
"What?"
"Jack's ex-girlfriend is related to the mob."
"Huh?"
Cassie put down the spatula and straightened up from bending over the cupcakes, running her hands through her red-tipped, blonde-spiked hairdo. "I just saw her at Nunzia's memorial. She's his granddaughter."
"Are you sure that was his ex?"
"Yep. I saw her up close at his house last night, and then again today. It's the same girl."
"She was at his house?"
Lexi nodded, feeling her stomach clench, remembering how she had burst in on them. If Sprinkles hadn't run over there, she never would have known.
"That's weird."
"You aren't thinking," Lexi shrugged. "Well, I really don't know what to think. I've seen them together twice now. If I didn't know how honest Jack was, I'd think he was hiding something from me." Cassie bit her bottom lip.
"No, Jack would never cheat on you, if that's what you're thinking. John said he wasn't very happy that the ex showed up in town at all."
Lexi pressed her lips together. She didn't want to think the worst of Jack, but she couldn't forget that she'd seen him with Simone twice. And those were only the times she'd actually seen them. How many other times were there she didn't know about? Her cell phone vibrating in her pocket stole her attention. She pulled it out to look at the display. Another text from Jack. She probably should text him back, but making him wait another couple of hours couldn't hurt. She turned with a sigh. "Well, I better get some baking done. Nan's and the girls are bringing my trays back after the memorial, and I need to get some brownies made before they show up." Lexi peeked out into the front room of the bakery. Her part-time helper, Haley, was busy cleaning off the self-serve coffee station. It was their slow time of day, and Haley could handle the customers, giving her and Cassie some time to get the baking done in the kitchen. She grabbed a large stainless steel bowl from the counter, then assembled the ingredients on the table. Butter, cocoa powder, flour, eggs, sugar, vanilla, espresso, and salt. "I still can't picture Jack dating anyone that had ties to organized crime," Lexi said as she melted the butter in a small pan on the gas stove.
"He might not have known she was related. That was a long time ago, before he was even on the police force. You know how it is when you're young. You don't ask a lot of questions."
Cassie squinted at the batch of cupcakes in front of her, trying to place the silver sugar balls she was decorating them with at precise distances from each other. Lexi poured the melted butter into the bowl she had on the counter. She supposed that was true. Was Simone Jack's first love? Lexi's heart plummeted down to her stomach. No one ever forgot their first love.
"I doubt he still has feelings for her,"
Cassie said, as if reading her mind.
"I mean, how could he possibly be interested in her when he has you?"
Lexi's heart warmed, and she smiled at her friend. Leave it to Cassie to try to make her feel good. She thought about what Cassie had said as she blended the sugar into the butter. The truth was that Jack hadn't given her any indication that he did have feelings for Simone. In fact, he'd gone out of his way to show her that he didn't. And he did make a point of letting Simone know he was engaged to her when he introduced them last night. She dumped the rest of the ingredients into the butter and sugar mixture, working them together with a spatula. And Jack did keep texting her today, which at least meant he was thinking about her. She was probably reading too much into the whole thing. Lexi resolved to keep an open mind tonight when she went over to his place to grill out. Lexi looked down at the rich, dark brown mixture in the bowl and grabbed her secret ingredient, a bottle of Kahlua. She measured about a quarter cup into the bowl and mixed it in, then took a tasting spoon and scooped up a spoonful. The brownie mix melted in her mouth. The chocolate was velvety smooth, and the espresso and Kahlua gave it a deep, rich taste. Perfect. She put down the spoon and scraped the batter into a pan.
Yoo-hoo, Lexi! We brought back your trays.
Nans appeared in the kitchen doorway, holding her empty serving trays, along with a few napkins and plates they apparently hadn't used at the memorial. Thanks. You can throw them on the counter, Lexi said over her shoulder as she shoved the brownie pan into the oven.
Do you have time to take a break, dear? We have a lot to talk about from everything we learned at the memorial. And you have to tell us more about that blonde girl, Simone, was it?
Lexi rolled her eyes. She could see what Nans was up to. Nans knew she couldn't resist trying to figure things out. Lexi figured the older woman's plan was to keep Lexi in the loop about the investigation, thinking that eventually her curiosity would take over and she'd be in the thick of it with them. But Lexi had other, more important things on her mind right now, like a wedding to plan and an ex-girlfriend to fend off. The problem was that she could never refuse Nans, so she pushed off the counter she was leaning on and followed her out to the front. Lexi poured an extra strong coffee for herself and plopped down in one of the cafe chairs, wishing she'd gone home for a nap instead of coming to the bakery.
Everyone loved your pastries at the memorial, Ruth said.
Thanks. How did it go after I left? Ruth's eyebrows pressed together, adding another layer of creases to her already wrinkled brow.
I was surprised none of his family got up to talk about him. Reverend Peters gave a lovely eulogy, though.
I'm not surprised, given what most of them had to say about him, Nan said.
Helen nodded.
Yeah, he wasn't well-liked in his own family, but do you think any of them disliked him enough to kill him?
I don't know, but some of them seemed concerned about the will. I think a few of them were down and out and needed money, Ida said. We should make a note to look into their finances.
Nans turned to Ruth.
Do you have a list of the relatives?
Ruth nodded.
Okay, let's find out which ones needed money.
The missing will could be a factor, too. Nans tapped her bottom lip with her index finger.
I wonder if someone was afraid they were being written out of the will and is looking for it so they can destroy it. Then they would have to revert to his old will, the one the lawyer has.
Everyone turned to look at Ruth.
It could be. He never discussed it with me, Ruth said.
And we need to find out what type of gun he was killed with, and then see if any of the relatives own that type of gun.
Nans looked at Helen with her brows raised.
That should be easy, Helen said. I can find out online if any of them had guns registered. Of course, they could still have a gun they didn't register, but there's no way for us to find out about that.
The way I see it, we have two possible motives. One is that he was killed so the killer could take the will, or whatever it is they are looking for. The other is that someone got mad and killed him in a fit of anger.
Nans ticked the items off on her fingers.
And a third possible motive, said Ida, is that his involvement in organized crime is what got him killed.
You mean like a mob hit? Ruth asked. Ida nodded.
I doubt he was still involved in anything like that.
Ruth let her voice trail off.
We should still keep it open as an option, Helen said.
The person who killed him might not necessarily be the one searching for whatever it is they're searching for.
Ida took a sip of tea. Her keen blue eyes sparkled at them over the rim of the cup.
Right, Nan said. He might have been killed for one reason, and now his relatives are taking the opportunity to try to find the new will. Or maybe they are looking for something else entirely.
How much money did he have, anyway? It would have to be a lot to be worth killing over, I would think,
Helen said.
That's the thing, Ruth said. I don't think he had a lot. I mean, he never spent a lot. I guess I don't know how much he had socked away. For all I know, he had $1 million hidden in various nooks and crannies, and that's why everyone is searching his stuff.
We'll have to look into that, Nan said. Maybe we can hack into his bank accounts.
Lexi could feel her eyelids getting heavy. She looked out the window as the ladies droned on about the different possible scenarios surrounding Nunzio's death. The waterfall looked cool and refreshing. People were strolling by on the sidewalks, enjoying the summer day, most of them wearing shorts and t-shirts in summer colors. Except for the two guys on the opposite side of the street, who seemed to be looking right in the window at them. Lexi narrowed her eyes toward the men. Something was familiar about them. Their dark suits out of place on the hot summer day. Had she seen them at the memorial?
Lexi!
Nans tapped the table in front of her, startling her. Yes?
Tell us about Simone. What's she got to do with Jack?
He introduced her to me as an old friend, but Cassie said she's an ex-girlfriend. The lady's eyes all went wide.
Jack dated someone from the mob?
Helen asked. Well, not really. Simone isn't from the mob. He probably didn't know the grandfather was, if he even was. Anyway, that was all a long time ago.
Nans narrowed her eyes. You should try to get more information out of him. I bet he knows something that could be pertinent to our investigation.
I doubt he would tell me. You know how closed-mouthed he can be. Anyway, I don't really want to get involved, even though I can see that you are trying to drag me in.
Lexi smiled at Nans fondly. Sorry, dear. It's just that we so love having you in on things with us.
The other women nodded, and Lexi felt her stomach clench. Then she remembered this was probably part of Nans's plan, make her feel guilty so she'd join in the investigation.
Let's not forget about the key, Helen said.
Yes, the key. Nans pressed her lips together. It's rather small, so it must go to some sort of locker or a small box or safe. Maybe even a safety deposit box. We should make a list of all the places in the vicinity that have those types of boxes.
Ruth pulled out the locket and popped it open.
It has a number, so that might make it easy for us to find the locker, if it is a locker.
Shouldn't we tell the police about it and let them sort it out? Lexi asked. Nans gave Lexi the look.
Do you really think the police will take us seriously? A key found in a locket? They'll probably take it and do nothing, and we'll never be able to solve the crime. Nope. Best to keep it to ourselves, don't you think, girls?
Ruth, Ida, and Helen all nodded. The bell over the door rang, and everyone swiveled their head toward the sound. Lexi felt her stomach flip-flop when she saw Brax walk in. He'd replaced his suit with a black t-shirt and jeans. The t-shirt was a little tight, accentuating his perfectly developed physique. Lexi heard Ruth and Helen suck in their breaths. Brax glanced over at the table and smiled.
Just the person I wanted to see.
Lexi raised her eyebrow, hoping no one could see her cheeks burning and her pulse jumping. Oh, are you in the market for another cinnamon bun? Brax laughed. His laugh had a deep, masculine timbre that sent tingles up Lexi's spine, and from the looks on their faces, it had the same effect on Nan's and her friends.
Actually, I heard you ladies know a little bit about the Nunzio Bartoli case,
he said, looking at Nan's, Ida, Ruth, and Helen in turn. Lexi noticed each woman flushed when his eyes fell on them. Nan's recovered first.
Yes, we do. Ruth here was a good friend of Nunzio's.
She pointed to Ruth on the other side of the table.
And who might you be?
Brax smiled.
How rude of me not to introduce myself. Brax Daniels, FBI.
He flashed his badge, then held his hand out and shook hands with each of them as they introduced themselves.
So, if you're here, that means Nunzio's murder must have had something to do with organized crime.
Nan's narrowed her eyes at Brax. Brax spread his hands.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
The ladies laughed.
Seriously, it might not have anything to do with it. That's why I'm here, to figure out whether it does or not. I heard you ladies had some keen investigative skills, and I thought you might have some information that would be useful to me.
Ida, Ruth, and Helen looked at Nan's, who stared at Brax, sizing him up. Lexi knew she was trying to decide if he could be trusted and how much to tell him.
We haven't heard anything about any organized crime connection, Nan said at last. We had a memorial with the family today, and I can tell you there is no love lost between Nunzio and most of them.
Brax raised an eyebrow.
Oh, really? So you think someone in his family might have done this?
Nan shrugged.
Maybe. We are looking into that angle.
Brax nodded. Pressing his lips together, he pulled his wallet from his back pocket.
Tell you what, if you find anything you think I should know about, give me a call.
He handed a business card to each of the women, who looked starstruck as if he was a rock star handing out autographs. Nan's regained her composure first.
And you'll let us know if you find anything out as well.
Brax favored her with his sexy, gleaming smile.
Of course.
Lexi's stomach somersaulted as he turned his gaze on her and nodded toward the doorway.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Lexi got up, wondering why her legs were shaking like a newborn colt. Probably the combination of lack of sleep and caffeine, she reasoned. Brax pulled her out of earshot, his warm hand on her wrist sending tingles up her arm. He leaned down, talking softly. His lips were close to her ear, which made her pulse skitter.
Your grandmother has quite a reputation as an amateur investigator, but this case could be very dangerous. You'd be smart to get her to back off. I heard she's also very stubborn, so if you can't do that, at least keep a close eye on her. I wouldn't want those sweet old ladies to get hurt.
He stood back just an inch and looked down at Lexi. His green eyes drilled into hers, and Lexi thought she saw something more than concern for her grandmother in them. He tucked a business card into the top pocket of her apron, his fingers brushing lightly against her skin as he did. Lexi's heart jerked in her chest as his gaze went from her eyes to her lips and then back to her eyes.
Please call me if anything comes up, even something that doesn't seem important. Feel free to call me for anything at all.
He traced his finger lightly down Lexi's arm, then turned and disappeared out the door. Lexi felt her breath rush out in a whoosh. Had she been holding it? She glanced at the clock, and her heart skipped a beat. She only had 1 hour to close up the shop, rush home, shower, change, and then run over to Jack's for supper. Guess that nap wasn't going to happen after all.